have the great honor of presenting Reverend Helen Livingston, who will be our speaker this morning. Helen grew up in the Boston area, received her education in, among other places, in Texas. Began her Unitarian Universalist ministry at the UU Church in Park Forest, Illinois, where she was senior minister for 10 years. And during that time was instrumental in building a beautiful, beautiful church in the wooded area. She moved on from there to become minister of Monte Vista Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Montclair, from which she retired recently and is now Minister Emerita. We're so happy to have you here.
I'm very happy to be here, too. It's been a long time. Judy remembers when I was here before. I sort of in the dim recesses of my memory, but somehow I remember it was a beautiful place and a beautiful congregation. I also, by way of explanation, this stole that I'm wearing this morning is the handiwork of the women in Transylvania. So many of you, if you know anything about Unitarian churches, we started there. A lot of people think we started in this country, but we actually started back in the 1500s in Transylvania, which is now Romania. And we're going to read responsibly number 575, A New Manifestation, which is by one of my favorite literary lights, Margaret Fuller, who was, can you hear me? Oh, I'm sorry. She was the editor of the Dial magazine. It was rather short-lived, but made an impact on the religious and liberal life of that Massachusetts area. And she was one of the first people to start. She was the person who started consciousness-raising groups for women. And she was also one of the famous transcendentalists. I think this is a good way to start our new year. So I'll read the first part and you'll read the part in italics. A new manifestation is at hand. A new hour is come. Manifestation is at hand. A new hour is come.
What one needs is not as a woman's grasp or rule, but as the answers to her own, as the intelligence to discern, as a soul to live freely and not immediately, to unfold such powers as we give her.
A new manifestation is at hand. A new hour is come.
Man does not have his fair share of life.
A new manifestation is at hand, a new hour is come. Were this done, we believe a divine energy would pervade nature to a degree unknown in the history of former ages. May it be so. Ring out, wild bells. It's a song not only for New Year's, but for all seasons. I especially like the verse, ring out the grief that saps the mind. I cannot think of a more fitting message to sing and celebrate on this first Sunday in a new year, into this new time of so full of expectations and possibilities. And yet, we know it's also so full of grief that can sap the mind. Does the sound of church bells bring back special memories for you? I remember the time spouse Nick and I were lucky enough to spend time in Hyde Park, Illinois, on Chicago's South Side, Barracks neighborhood. It was while I had an assignment at our seminary, Meadville Lombard School of Religion. On Saturday morning, the bells from all the many churches rang out from their bell towers, including from the high steeple of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Chicago across the street. I never knew exactly why they rang at that time, perhaps just to let us know that all those venerable neo-Gothic churches were still part of that otherwise very secular academic scene. You who grew up in small towns may be remembering church bells from your childhood or from visits to Mexico, like our favorite town, San Miguel de Allende, where the 32 churches rang their bells from up close and from a distance all day long, willy-nilly. We never figured out any pattern or meaning in the bells except to announce their presence in the town and to add clatter and clamor to the all-pervading history there of the Roman Catholic churches. I would submit that there is something that deeply resonates within us upon the hearing of ringing of church bells. Primordial sounds, evocative sounds, attention-getting sounds, like sacred music sometimes, or just a basic beat to the rhythm of some distant, eternal heartbeat. We may not actually hear those wild bells ring out on this first Sunday in our California New Year, except in song. But no matter, I am thankful to the poet Tennyson for using those sounds as oral and vivid images in his poems. New Year's is the time to be reminded, to be waked up by the imagined sounds of untamed bells ringing in the wild, wild sky, the flying clouds, the frosty light. Ring out the old, ring in the new. The year is dying in the night. Ring out, wild bells. And let that year die. The old year, 2008, with all its excitement and suffering, will probably never die in our memories, of course. But let's make use of this time to let go of the old resentments. For example, the political shenanigans of the old regime, so full of lies and deceit. The long campaign exposed the bigotry and the ignorance of this country and also its possibilities. And let's ring out, let's say goodbye to the personal things we need to get rid of this morning. The old hurts and fears, the mistakes we made that can never be erased. All the old grudges and grouchiness. Bring them out. Ring, ring, ring them out. W-R-I-N-G. This is the hymn's great refrain. Its plea to us, its hope and its appeal. New Year's is a holy time at all times. But especially this year, if there were a prize for the most overwhelming year, if Time magazine were to feature, instead of the outstanding person of the year, the outstanding year in the life of us Americans, I think it would make the cover this time. But what picture would represent it? It could only be a huge and colorful collage, not only of the disasters, but of the splendid opportunities it presented. During the passing of the last 12 months, some good things might have happened too. I hope so. Many good things have happened to me and my family, one of them planning to be with you here today, and I hope to you personally. Perhaps you remember some challenge in your lives which opened you up last year, which tested you, and you passed the test. Perhaps some surprising doors were flung open, some assuring voices, some hands reached out to touch you when you were most in need of them, of healing hands. Remember, folks, after all, we are the survivors. We're still here. Now, there's something to celebrate this morning. We may have found the courage and strength we didn't know we had in the last year. And on November 4th, we were greeted with the possibility of a new leader who is an excellent mixture. Not only of race, but of brilliance and wisdom and hope for a better world. You may have heard when President-elect Obama was asked by a reporter what kind of dog they wanted for the girl's pet. He said they might choose a puppy from the animal shelter. Maybe a mutt. Like me, he added. Mutts can rule. Or call them hybrids, and that's not just a car. This first Sunday in January is the time to turn our heads toward the past, like the god Janus, and also to turn our eyes toward the future year being born, with the ever-present hope that will lift us and carry us into the days ahead with courage and patience and confidence. Ring out wild bells. Say goodbye to pessimism. Cheer up, my friends. You didn't come here to hear about the matters you are already angry and frustrated about. You are here, and so am I, and what a good start. Even if we all come with heavy hearts about what is happening on the globe or in our personal lives, we are the fortunate ones, the privileged ones. And I see this time of the year as a time for renewal. I came upon this poem by Sheena Pugh that applies to ringing out pessimism. It's called Sometimes. Sometimes things don't go, after all, from bad to worse. Some years, muscatel grapes face down frost, green thrives, the crops don't fail. Sometimes a person aims high and all goes well. A people sometime will step back from war, elect an honest person, decide they care enough that they can't leave some stranger poor. Some people became what they were born for. Sometimes our best efforts do not go amiss. Sometimes we do as we meant to. The sun will sometimes melt a field of sorrow that seemed hard frozen. May it happen for you. Ring in wild bells as a time for starting again, a second chance, as it were. We hear the stories every day of people who took chances, learned a new language, lost weight, stopped smoking, traveled to places unexplored by most tourists, risked getting to know a different kind of person. For Nick and me, it was doing over a house in bold new colors, lavender and red, protesting Proposition 8 out on the street with our friends, or joining a poetry writing group. For some friends, it was singing in the choir for the first time. And maybe most life-changing of all, for others, it was discovering us Unitarian Universalists. There are times when we are all stuck. I know I have been. We recognize a need to see a new morning break in our souls. It feels as if we are going nowhere in a deep rut, or worse, going backward. I know, because being retired is a passage when one must look again at what you are doing with your precious life, your precious time. It can be a time to be static and let time's fine sand drift through your fingers. Or it can be a time to take another look at one's life. Being retired, as some of you may know, is a time for a second chance, a new beginning. Not to throw out the old, God is forbid, but to take stock and take another look at our lives from a more relaxed and open perspective. And that new beginning may not be dramatic at all. It may not be a sharp turn to the right or left. It may be a chance to take more naps. My idea. Sit and stare at the flowering crepe myrtles in your yard or the neighbor's yard, and say no to too many night meetings, like me. Ringing out the old, ringing in the new, does have one requirement: forgiveness. And there is one important thing to remember about forgiving that you may not have thought of. It is not an either or, not an all or nothing process. Forgiving can be a matter of degrees. You can forgive a little today, perhaps a little more tomorrow. Perhaps you will never totally forgive someone for something that you can never forget. But a little, even a little, will do a lot of good. Let the rest come with time. A foot in the door of forgiving, even one toe, can lead to a wide open door if we are willing to let that happen and it was meant to be. As the poet Rumi says, and I will always remember, there is a field somewhere beyond all ideas of right and wrong. I'll meet you there. There is a field somewhere beyond all ideas of right and wrong. I'll meet you there. I am forever mindful of a litany for the Jewish New Year by our colleague Robert Eller Isaac. It's number 637, and I'd like you to join me in this. Number 637 in the back of our hymn book. A litany of atonement. And again, I'll read the regular writing and you read the italics. For remaining silent when a single voice would have made a difference. For each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible. For each time that we have struck out in anger without just cause. For each time that our greed has blinded us to the needs of others. For the selfishness which sets us apart and alone. For falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit. For losing sight of our unity. For those and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. such a letting go. It's a very good way to begin a very good year. And yet we know we can never truly let go of what has been disturbing us so deeply. Another colleague of mine, the Reverend Jim Curtis, once wrote, "Nothing is settled. Everything matters. Nothing is settled. Everything matters." I like to remember that simple motto when it seems to be so impossible to change the world, or even my little corner of it. It's too true that nothing is settled. We have no idea what is going to happen next. Every time we turn on the news, or the television, or a computer, so much craziness, corruption, fundamentalism, extremism. I know what you may be thinking right now. Some things are settled. In the past year, there have been choices that have been made, life-changing choices. There have been decisions, wrong turns, unnecessary poverty, and senseless death and destruction. None of that can be rewritten in the book of life. No Hollywood remake with a sappy ending. But wait, it's not all a done deal. Even as the moving finger of fate has written and moved on, I see that which is not settled as an opportunity. What is not settled is up to us. What is not settled is what the direction of our lives will be. The meaning of a life is not contained in one scene, one day, or one year, as long as we are still breathing. The story of our lives is still being told. And the meaning is still open to change and revisioning. You can still transform, start over, come to realize where we want to go and who we want to be. Every choice, every action in the new year matters. Everything matters in the year coming, and more importantly, everything matters today. The past is past. Ring out the old. Bring in new possibilities. A poetic metaphor I like to explore is from William Blake. "I give you the end of a golden string. Just wind it into a ball. It will lead you in at heaven's gate, built in Jerusalem's wall." Imagine holding on to the end of a golden string and letting it lead you not necessarily to what Blake aspires to, perhaps not to heaven's gate or Jerusalem's wall, but to a life of creativity, of joy in nature, and all the little everyday things that can awaken us all to wonder and gratitude. Hold gently, not too tight, to that golden string, and follow it. It can lead you past what is trivial, crass, unsightly, towards what is heartwarming, toward places of service to others, to better health, and to abundance. Ring in wild bells to taking risks this year. Oh, I know. First of all, we want to be safe. Don't drink and drive. Practice safe sex. Cut down on trans fats, and so on. I'm not talking about that. No one is more gung-ho about safety and health than I am. But I am talking about risking something big this year. I want people to do what they need to do to be happy and make us all happier in the process. Scientific studies have recently been reporting, once again, what we already know without any studies, happiness is catching. And we can all live longer and healthier lives if we start an epidemic. starting with our family, then our friends, their friends, and the neighbor across the street and their friends. Let's see some giddiness out there, some zaniness, some joking around and not taking it all too seriously. And while you're at it, go see the movie Happy Go Lucky. Has anybody here seen it? No? Well, maybe it's still on or you can rent it someday. An optimist can see the glass half full and yet detect when that liquid can be poison for her. Sometimes even the most blissful have to discern when to act for their own good. But most of the time, life is too serious to be taken seriously. Let's live as if our lives depended on it. Let's live so that our biographers will have something more to say about us than what Dorothy Parker said, and you probably heard this, when it was reported that President Calvin Coolidge died. Oh, really? How could they tell? Now, that wouldn't apply to any of us, but I had to work it in here. Bring in more cross-cultural understanding. I think this is a year for opening up more possibilities for discovering differences, for discovering diversity, and accepting and even reveling in the differences. One of my favorite stories having to do with understanding other cultures comes from the biologist Alexander Luria, who interviewed Russian nomads back in 1931. He told one man he was interviewing, "All the bears up north are white. I have a friend up there who saw a bear. What color was the bear?" The nomad stared at him for a moment, puzzled. "How am I supposed to know? Ask your friend." There is more than one way to respond even to a logic question. We all have a different approach to thinking, and even whole cultures do. We can always savor such differences and perhaps even learn from them. Here's another reminder from a cross-cultural situation. The rich industrialist from the north was horrified to find the southern fisherman lying lazily beside his boat, smoking a pipe. "Why aren't you out fishing?" said the industrialist. "Because I have caught enough fish for today," said the fisherman. "Why don't you catch some more?" "What would I do with it?" "You could earn more money. With that, you could have a motor fixed to your boat and go into deeper waters and catch more fish. Then you could make enough to buy nylon net. These would bring you more fish and more money. Soon, you would have enough money to own 2 boats, maybe even a fleet of boats. Then you would be a rich man like me." "What would I do then?" "Then you could really enjoy life." "What do you think I'm doing now?" Speaking of cross-cultural adventures, one area of human discovery I want to ring in this year is the increasing study in the expanding field of neuroscience. Last October, our local seminary, Claremont School of Theology, surprised many of us by sponsoring an unprecedented seminar, Neuroscience and Spiritual Practice, subtitled Transforming the Embodied Mind. Now, this was a clear divergence from their usual theological, mostly Christian seminars. It was an interreligious conference bringing together an international group of renowned scientists, philosophers, theologians, and contemplatives. Together, they and the conference participants studied the relationship between neuroscientific understanding and meditative or prayerful practices of many religions, including Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, Sufi, and Judaism. That is one of the very good things that happened last year, for me, at least. And it is also an indicator of what is happening around our country and around the world. It is not a ringing out of the old, not this time. It is a ringing in of the old and the new together, sounding in harmony with the latest scientific data, and discovering how spiritual disciplines can transform our minds, which means our body, too. No matter what our religious or spiritual traditions may be, listen up, pay attention, because all the areas of our human brains are being probed, MRI, double-blind tested, and subjected to laboratory tests. And you don't have to be a brain surgeon to see the results on computer images. Here's one teaching I came away with from that conference. When the neurons in your brain fire together, they wire together with repetition. When the neurons in your brain fire together, they wire together. In other words, serious meditation can change the very way our brains function and therefore how we think and behave. So all of this is leading to the proof of what religious contemplatives have already known. They have known how spiritual practice can transform us individually and as a society, even without the scientific proof. Maybe now that neuroscientists are so involved, we will sit up and pay attention. To this holy and empirical merger between the scientific and the religious, we need to listen up. Traditional religion, I hate to say it, I like to say it. Traditional religion has not done much to make people in our society kinder to one another. I think this combination of areas of study can bring us to a society more empathic, more compassionate, more in tune with itself, what we were supposed to have been, be as human beings, starting with our personal spiritual practices right now, starting with just being here in this moment, listening to all the sounds around us, breathing deeply and consciously. Let's try that for a moment now. Breathing in slowly, comfortably, and breathing out also, slowly and consciously. Our spiritual ancestor, Henry David Thoreau, wrote, "I learned this at least by experiment, that if you advanced confidently in the direction of your dreams and endeavor to live the life which you have imagined, you will meet with a success unexpected in common hours." In our common and uncommon hours, may we wake up to the sound of those joyous wild bells, ringing out grief and slander and spite, ringing in a joyous, serene, and wondrous New Year. Happy New Year, y'all. Blessed be.